Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is your host, Wayne Klingman, with Mr. Big After Dark. And today we have, I think, one of the most fascinating people I have met in the last couple of years. I would say this year, but we're only talking for a minute. But at least, he's as wildly well as you will get to, as you will soon find out. So with no further ado, let me introduce you, the famous, good-looking, mega-cool, replacement, the one man in this world that could replace Russ Meyer. I give you, of course, himself, Patrick Palmer. Good evening, sir. How are you doing today?
Hey, I think you had it right, the most important person you met this year, I think. We're just 9 days into the new, into the second month of the new year. That sounds about right to me. That's a good introduction. But it's great to be here, and I look forward to talking to you and whatever topics that throw at me, and we'll just kind of wing it and go.
I'm sure it'll be really interesting. Though, first of all, what kind of interested in doing this discussion that you do with talking just about the adult and entertainment industry? What all got that started?
Watching Deep Throat at age 14.
Okay.
Probably got it started. But you know, on the front end, when I stumbled upon my dad's Betamax tape, I realized that there were three other trailers. Back in those days, they did trailers to movies. They had, Meatballs and Little Girls Blue and a third one called Expensive Taste. And so as I watched these trailers, I was watching Little Girls Blue, and over the years, that was kind of a mainstay movie. And then I realized one day that, hell, I met four of the people in that movie. And then when I watched the movie, the trailer to the third one that had Joey Silvera in it, they had a scene where a lady was paying guys to molest her, and that scared the hell out of me. It's called Expensive Taste, and to this day, Joey Silvera still scares me, but he's a nice guy. I've never met him in person, but I just sent him a bunch of things to have signed. I'm kind of a collector of these old-time adult posters and whatnot. So anyway, from going from being 14, on my 18th birthday, I held my head high. I went to my local post office. I registered for Selective Service, and I got myself a post office box. And so at age 18, I was a senior in high school, and I had my own very own Hustler magazine subscription.
There you go.
That was a pretty proud moment for me. And so from there, I kind of went on to a community college where they had an adult bookstore or adult movie theater in the town. And Tuesdays was the new release day. And so I scheduled my classes to be done at 1 o'clock because I marched myself right down to the mini cinema. I park right in front because I'm over 18 and I gladly pay my $5. And I watch the two movies they have for the day, and then leave there and hit the food place. And because on Tuesdays it was all you could eat footlong hot dogs at the hot dog place. I made quite a day out of watching porno and eating hot dogs. So that's
started. And now you basically have a business where you buy and sell collectible adult entertainment items, correct?
Right. Mm-hmm. That's right. Just really, really a side thing, just kind of a hobby. And what happened was I was having people order things from me or say, hey, yeah, I want so-and-so's autograph. And then I'd get it, and then they'd say, oh, well, yeah, I don't have the money. Or, oh, well, I was kind of just talking out of my ass. I just was, whatever. And it's like, well, now I got this extra autograph of somebody I don't know what to do with. So I did make a website And now I do sell that stuff there, and then I do private signings and things like that. And I've got a couple people that buy regularly from me. Anytime I do a private signing, they're right in. They want to do it. So.
Well, yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's a market for almost anything under the sun, it seems, which is fine. I mean, what the hell? I mean, I collect casino chips from casinos that were once controlled by the mafia. There's worse things in life than that, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
By all means. But I'm really enjoying the show. But you, well, first of all, let's have your website. Where do we find you online?
It's www.jizztalking.com. That's JIZZTALKING, jizztalking.com. And then from
you can
hit us up on Twitter, and then I have that Facebook group that I think you're in, and some others,
yes, sir.
And that's adult entertainment and in-person autograph entertainment group, something like that.
Something like that, yeah. I mean, I'm in it, and I'm happy to be in there because adult
entertainment autographs, yeah, there we go.
Yeah. You know, I learned a lot. I mean, really, I learned a lot from Air Force Amy. I mean, she was on Sunday night. And it was, to me, very much an education experience.
Yeah. Once a week, we have an adult entertainer that is on, or we have somebody that's connected with the adult business. Down the road, I'm going to, and something you could line up for a possible podcast as well, is a guy who ran one of the places in New York for years and years and years, or he had something to do with it. I don't know if he ran it or had something to do with it or was a booker. But anyway, I'm going to have him on. I'm going to have somebody that was worked in San Francisco at one of the big clubs out there. I've got a guy lined up that actually helped write the theme songs, the Brown Chicken, Brown Cow, you know, theme for some of the best movies out there.
Go on, I'm sorry.
It's just endless of the people, you know, and of course you want the show world was the place that all the performers were at. But, you know, the audience wants the funny thing about it is the audience wants all the new, the newest stars. Can you get Karma RX and get Stormy, and she's not that new. But anyway, these newer stars were the most popular ones. Well, the newer stars or the most popular ones don't need to be on my show.
No.
If they are, they're throwing me a bone or a favor or something like that, or I pulled in a contact that says, hey, can you get so-and-so? Yeah, I know him. I can get him. That type of thing. And I guess that's probably what I've done throughout most of this. Starting this website and primarily the interview show, the website, I had an idea for years ago that there should be a way to have a site where it's kind of a blog thing, kind of a video thing. And I was telling a buddy of mine, Bill Margold, who's since passed away, about it. And he says, I don't like the name. And I said, what do you think the name should be? He says, The People's Porn. I said, well, you know, the bad part about that is, and a couple other guys said, when you refer to it as The People's Porn, then you refer to it as, oh, it's all free. And it's not all free. And so anyway, I didn't go with that. But he thought that's what should have been called. I went to Jizz Talking, and he went with a program. He had a radio show called Hysterex, where he had the history of the X-rated business. But he was a nice guy. He really connected me with a lot of people. And every time something new happens to me or we do something else or we go somewhere and meet an adult star, my wife usually looks over at me. She says, this is all Bill Margold's fault, isn't it? And I said, yeah, it is. So anyway, that's kind of how that works. But I mean, I've had a wonderful, I wouldn't trade it for anything, a wonderful connection. Back in the day from 1983 to the year 2000, I worked in radio as a morning guy for a couple different radio stations or afternoon guy
really?
For a couple different radio stations. Yeah. And so I've really never met a stranger. And when I've interviewed everybody from, County Fair, Queens to Garth Brooks. And I've met four or five different presidents and talked to them. And so I've really never met a stranger. So I was probably more nervous to meet Reba McEntire than I was to meet Bill Clinton. And just because it was, I hadn't met very many stars. And so I met Reba, and then after I had four or five or six or seven different stars under my belt, then I met Bill Clinton, and he was like, no big deal. So, and being in Iowa, we meet all the candidates because they come here first.
Sure, plus they come to Iowa first. Absolutely, yeah. It's like the law. interesting, too, that you I just stumbled into the radio world myself. I do a little thing for Vegas or Sleeves where I do Mr. Big, and I tell a little mafia stories for a couple minutes, which is fun. Mm-hmm. I just find that world fascinating, what radio really truly does have an impact on people still today, even with so much streaming and the like. Radio does indeed still play a very, very important life role in American life, without a doubt.
Right.
Yeah.
So, and you know, I quit radio in 2000, and somebody said, why'd you quit? And so I just got tired of reading the weather forecast. So anyway, we have a good time telling that story. But now I've been out of radio for 22 years. It doesn't seem like it, but I still used, some of the gifts and the tools and whatever I picked up in radio to do this show every week. And I've interviewed, just people I never thought I would. And I've done things I never thought I'd ever do. And so it's just been kind of a wild, wild and crazy ride.
It can be. Your life can be very interesting. So I have to ask you this question. Who has been your favorite adult entertainment star to interview, female, to date?
Well, Christy Canyon really makes it easy. Because she was in the business of radio herself for a long time, 17, 18 years, on Playboy Radio and Vivid Radio and on a bunch of different stations. So she really makes it easy because she kind of anticipates the questions and she kind of, guides you along. Even this past weekend, I was really looking forward to Air Force Annie, but that interview kind of started off really kind of slow, and I kind of thought she might have more energy. Now, it did, and then everybody liked it when she kind of got into it and, told some stories and things like that, but it was slow.
Yeah.
I talked to going back, I got to actually look at the website here to see who I'd talked to. But the gal that did the, let's see here. She did Lisa Sparks. She she had the world's largest gangbang, and she had over 900 guys, whatever. I was really, really, really anticipating how fired up she'd be, and that kind of went flat. Just one of those deals. You anticipate big things, and then it's just kind of you're dragging the answers out of them, and she really didn't want to talk about that episode of her life, and she wanted to talk about other stuff, and it's like, yeah, I know you want to talk about other stuff, but you're famous for this. I remember at a radio station I used to work at, we had a guy, Bob Eubanks from the Newlyweds Show. He was a spokesman for the Iowa Lottery for a while. And so he did some commercials for the lottery, and you got to play a game with Bob Eubanks and whatever. Well, our morning guy interviewed him and says, just want to introduce Bob Eubanks, and great guy. You may know Bob from the Newlywed Game, and da 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 da. And Bob says, I don't want to talk about that, and I'm not going to take it anymore. And he hung up on him. Mentioned it for a point of reference. I mean, it's like your resume.
Yeah. No.
And
no,
so anyway,
management
called their management, and Bob called back and apologized, and they did the interview, and like it never even happened. And they did mention a little bit about the Newlywed Game, but not much. And the focus was on the Iowa Lottery. But it was a part of your life, and you did it, and that's kind of how it went.
Yeah. And you don't know, I do podcasts. I've done podcasts since 2006, right? Usually in film. I only started doing stuff in true crime, and now the adult side of true crime, the mafia, right? I think my worst experience, if I may, is I had a guy that showed up drunk on my live stream, and he ran and raved for about 3 seconds and went walked off, right? It's like, okay,
wow.
Whatever. You know, I mean, if you do that, why even bother coming on, right? Why even bother coming on?
Yeah.
But people are people. People are people.
Yep.
That's crazy.
That's for sure.
Crazy stuff. So who do you – now, the thing about Air Force Amy that I really enjoyed hearing was a story about some of the people that she had and she showed up at the place that she worked at that she entertained. I mean, there were some interesting people, to say the least.
Right. Excuse me. Yeah, and she had to be careful, too. I mean, you go to a place like that because you don't want people to know you're there or you don't want to advertise. And I knew she probably felt uncomfortable. She named a bunch of names. So she gave a couple of high-profile names, but names that were already in the news anyway. But
right.
It was interesting to hear her stories and what she would do and what she wouldn't do and things like that.
Excuse me. I mean, I knew the basketball player whose name escapes me right now got, OD'd there, right, which had to be a hell of a situation to deal with, right? If anybody would overdose there,
yeah.
It would be a problem.
Yeah,
get alone
was,
a famous NBA
he,
player, right?
Yeah. And then to have your boss die and have Ron Jeremy find him.
Yeah, and that whole thing, too. I mean, the whole thing, and obviously that has been horrific. You know, we had the whole situation with Ron Jeremy going on this in the news, which I think needs to be talked about. We'll see how that all plays out in the courts. I mean, it's a wild, crazy world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he filed a motion this week to have all 21 rape cases tried separately. So
okay.
I don't know how far that'll go, but yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the thing too is, it's not like anybody else. People who get some amount of fame can carry things way too far for way too long. And just have to see how it plays out in the courts. I mean, God, Ron Jeremy must be 70 these a day, right?
Yep, he's going to be, I think, 70 this year. Yep.
Yeah, so the last time I seen him, the picture they took of him of court, he did not look too well. But I guess anybody been in jail as much long as he has, I don't think he's made bail, or perhaps even been offered bail, is not going to look too well.
He has it's $6.5 million. And while I think he could get his hands on it, I just don't think he – I don't know why he doesn't, but I don't know if he's just going to afford that money to his family or his sisters or sister or brother. Or last I heard, his dad was still alive in a nursing home in Tennessee. But yeah, it's neither here nor there because he ain't getting out, so it doesn't matter. So.
No, it doesn't make a difference. I know the trial date won't be for what, a year at least, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
and
COVID's really nice.
I saw him in 2019 at Jim South's birthday party, and he was mumbling to himself and talking to himself, and he was just really acting weird, and people were thinking that there was something wrong anyway, and half the room was talking to him, and half the room wasn't talking to him because just about everybody in the room knew something was going to happen legally with Ron. They just didn't know when.
Yeah, and now we hear stuff after the fact. And again, I don't know what happened. I read some of the court complaints. I don't know exactly I don't know how the court case will play out, I'll put it that way, right? But again, if people supposedly saw him doing things that he's been accused of long ago, they should put a stop to it.
And I know that during our first few shows, I would say we start our shows in April of 2020, end of April 2020, and I think that probably the first 6 or 7 or 8 shows, that was the big question, hey, what do you think about Ron Jeremy? And finally I just had to say, look, it is what it is, and these people don't need to talk about Ron Jeremy anymore. They want to talk about their own self and don't take away their light from throwing Ron Jeremy's name in the middle of it because nobody cares. So anyway, that was,
finally,
we just really haven't mentioned it.
You know, I mean, if you have someone on the show to talk about their career in the past or what they might do in the future, bringing up something else does not do anybody any favors. Doesn't do them any good. Doesn't do the audience any good. It takes away from what you're trying to do with the show. Yeah, it's kind of silly. Yeah, mm-hmm. People tend to be silly.
Yeah.
But that's what it is. Yeah. So what do you think, over the last 20 years, we've seen a lot of changes go on with the adult entertainment business. What's been the biggest change that you think you've seen?
I think that this this thing with women and performers, I shouldn't just say women, but I do think it's female-driven, that they're getting to own their own content. And I've seen, especially in a year of a pandemic, where even before a little bit before the pandemic, you had gals, performers saying, you know, I'm going to skip that strip club because I'm making X amount of dollars every day or every week or every month by sitting at home and using OnlyFans or another, you know, venue for that. And I don't need some drunk in a strip club grabbing at me or having a problem in the parking lot afterwards or harassment at the hotel or, you know, A, B, and C. Now, some people miss the interaction. I could tell you for a fact that Christy Canyon misses the fans. She is a people person 100%. And for her not to be able to go to Exoticas or the AVMs or whatever, I think it just was just killing her. She had her radio show, and then that got to be only phones only, doing just in phones only, not in person. And then Vivid shut down, and Sirius kind of kicked them off the air, whatever they did. Anyway, she really, really missed it. And I know she could do her OnlyFans, and she has a fan night and kind of a one-on-one or, well, eight-on-one or whatever it is, however many people log in, and they can see her do her thing. But she's a social butterfly, and I think she needed the people. And when she got back out to Exotica, she just loved it.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, OnlyFans and the like, those type of streaming services definitely give people more options than they had before. I know two women who by day pretend to be Mrs. Homemaker, and they involve, you know, but they also have that side business where they bring in substantial amount of revenue to support their families.
Right, yeah. Yeah.
You know, that's great because I'd rather see somebody work for a living and make money to pay their bills than trying to live off in public assistance or not, you know, trying to do whatever else they can do.
Right.
I think that's a good thing.
Right. Go ahead. I heard that. Go ahead. I heard that 20% of wages made in Las Vegas were made on OnlyFans.
No.
Last year. Yeah. So
I believe
that. And that's something. Yeah.
I believe that. I will indeed believe that. I mean, to me, what you can do with an OnlyFans account is amazing, right? Because not only can you do porn stuff, but I mean, I know people who teach classes on how to make 3D weapons on OnlyFans. I know a guy who's contemplating teaching a class on Greek classics on OnlyFans.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because it's a way that they can reach out and entertain people. People want to pay some money to watch him teach them the Greek classics, to learn Greek, more power to them, right? I mean, the idea is to give people the opportunity to be creative and make money doing so.
Sure, yeah, and there's a lid for every pot, as they say here in Iowa, and whatever you're into, I think you'll find somebody who's into it also, and it could be on OnlyFans.
It could be. I mean, the sky's the limit. The only thing, I'm currently, when I get done with my current Slater Mafia books, I hope to start up the one on the Mafia and organized crime into pornography, right? And the biggest thing you slam into in a heartbeat is human trafficking, because it is a problem, right? And you find out how much human trafficking goes on in some of these sites, and it's like, how do we stop that from happening? I don't know if there's a way to do that or not.
I don't know. I know that one thing that is, for an example, like at Exotica, and we brought it up and it was kind of talked about a little bit, was that Evan Stone had mentioned that the girls at Exotica who are in the booths and they're doing their whatever, they want to be there. There's nobody there that's held beyond, against their will that's at a show like that. So I for critics who say that all of porn is just nothing but trafficking, I really have to object to that. because it's not. I don't think it even has a place in there. But unfortunately, you do have that, and just hope that people get caught and they get off the streets and they clean that up. And I know that even in Iowa, you know, we've had a couple of three-time losers get picked up for touching kids or underage this or underage that, and send the fucker, send the guys away. Send those guys away and never let them see the light of day or just put a bullet in their head.
I like the latter idea. I'm a big fan of bullets to the back of the heads. The biggest group I can think of offhand is we have a problem with some of the outlaw motorcycle gangs, but they do the strip club circuits, right? And, of course, they've been known about, and they've been investigated, and sometimes they get busted after a short time. Sometimes it takes them longer. But that's the biggest thing going on around here. By here, I mean Milwaukee, Wisconsin. I'm not that far from Iowa. When it comes to the movies that people are making, the ones with the bigger budgets, you know they're checking everybody's ID. You know they're doing a little bit of investigations. You know they're not putting up a shit on set, right? I think, in my opinion, that you freeze safe as being assuming that there's very little, if any, human trafficking going on the set of a mainstream Triple X movie, if there's such a thing as a mainstream Triple X movie.
Right. Yeah, they're not worried about those people. It's just the bootleg, dark web stuff that's out there that's dangerous and could be that sort of stuff.
Absolutely. I mean, most of the people, I'm just like anybody else, in my opinion. You know, most people who are in the adult entertainment business are just like anybody else. So you might meet the plumber, the carpenter, you know, the baker, whatever it might be. They're just doing something else, building something they hopefully enjoy doing. Because trust me when I say I enjoy watching them do it. I do consume my share of entertainment. I'm not going to lie. I'd be bullshit. I mean, it's the thing. I mean, Mr. Big After Dark is about things we do at night, things we do behind closed doors, things that we do that other people may not want to do. I mean, the idea here is that I want to do what I want to do. If you don't want to do it with me or not into that, that's fine. That's great. That's wonderful. But I'm going to talk about things I fascinate on, about what goes on behind closed doors at night. You know, that's me. That's what we're trying to do here.
Yeah.
And try to educate people what it's about, you know, what it might be. It is what it is. We go in from strength to strength. So you go to the different conventions, do you not?
Yeah, we started out when I turned 50 about 7 years ago. My wife says, "Do you have a bucket list?" I says, "Well, you know, I kind of have a bucket list." And I said, "You know," I said, "I've never been ice fishing." And in Iowa, you know, late November, early December, there's ice on the lake, and it's time to go ice fishing. Well, I said, "I've never been ice fishing. I'd like to go ice fishing." And so she says, "Anything else?" I said, "Well, you know, I've never been to a college tailgate party. I know we got Iowa and Iowa State in Iowa, and I could just, you know, go there and have a fun time." And I said, "I've never been to one of those yet." And she says, "Anything else?" I said, "Yes, I've never been to the Porn Oscars." And so she says, "The Porn Oscars?" I said, "Yeah, the AVN Award show." And so she said, "Well, I'd be up for that." I said, "Okay." So I made reservations to go, and then I saw the prices to go to the actual Oscars, or the AVN show. There's the adult entertainment event that preceded the show, and so we went to that. And then as I was doing some investigating about it, I run into I emailed a guy by the name of Bill Margold, and because he's on every documentary there for a while about the X-ray business. And so I asked him about a show called Legends of Erotica. And so he said, "Yes, it's a show that honors legends." And anyway, so he invited me there. And so we went to the seedy part of Vegas, right north of the Pawn Stars Pawn Shop, was this adult movie theater and stage. And that's where this was held. And walking in the door was Evan Stone, and walking in the door was Herschel Savage and Veronica Hart and Jeannie Silver and Melissa Hill and Karen Summer, all these stars that I'd more or less grown up with. And it was just like a wild, cool night. And my wife says, "You know, this is just like a private club." And I said, "It was." And so I made friends with all those folks, And, you know, I made friends so well that last summer in the height of the pandemic, Herschel Savage spent a week at my house. And it's just like so cool to have him here. And we took him the grand tour all over Iowa, and he'd never eaten corn on the cob before. And
no.
So I gave him some corn on the cob, he'd had, you know, sweet corn before, but never corn on the cob, off the cob. You eat it off the cob. And
sure.
We went out and saw the Buddy Holly crash site up by Clear Lake, Iowa. We went to that, and I took him to Music Man Square because Meredith Wilson was born in Mason City, and took him to that. Just showed him all over North Iowa, and he couldn't believe how friendly we were, and he couldn't believe how we waved at strangers. And the first night I took him into a gas station, he's from Brooklyn originally. He says, I got to get a coffee and I got to take a piss. I said, okay, just go on in and do your thing and I'll be out here in the car. All right. So he comes out and he says, you can't believe what just happened to me. I said, what? He says, I take my coffee up. I get to the checkout lady. The lady says, how was your day? I said, yeah, what's that? Well, that never happens in L.A. So he was stunned by that. And he says, so the next day I took him back to the same gas station, the same convenience store, and he walks in and he buys some junk. You know, he just buys a coffee and he buys some a sandwich or a candy bar or whatever. And he comes out and he says, does everybody in this town know you? I said, yeah, pretty much. I said, what happened? He said, I'm checking out. And the guy behind the counter says, is Patrick treating you okay? And he says, how did he even know me? I said, well, you kind of stick out here, so it's your voice. So anyway, he was just thrilled. They took him to a local restaurant. They gave him a free tenderloin sandwich. He'd never had a tenderloin sandwich before. And,
wow.
And they really made a big deal out of him here in Iowa. And I think he was ready to, when we left to go back to Des Moines to go, he was ready to go. I think he was kind of homesick for L.A. again. But
sure.
You know, just for that little moment, kind of like Doc Hollywood, you know, you got to see the small town and the friendly nature of it. And he's something I'll never forget, he said.
Well, I mean, that thing's nice. I mean, small town America, the Midwest especially, you know, I think has the magic of its own. I really, truly do. Wonderful, wonderful
mm-hmm.
time.
Mm-hmm.
So how was the Oscars for porn? I mean, how did it go? What was it like? How much did it cost you to get in?
They don't do the Legends of Erotica anymore because Bill died, but, and that was the last one they had was the last one I went to was the last one they had. And it was, he didn't know that at the time, but, then they have sold, the whole building got sold to the Pawn Stars people and, it got torn down, I think. And I don't know what happened to all the things that people did, but anyway, they got torn down. You know, the AVN or the Adult Entertainment Expo is what it was called. We bought a VIP pass, which later Bill says, you shouldn't have wasted your money on a VIP pass, which is kind of true. We're not really, you know, back in the day I was partier and party a lot and I drink with the best of them, but I really didn't drink all that much. I didn't really go to any after parties, and we were kind of just tired, and it was hot in Las Vegas, and well, not that hot, but anyway, it was warmer in Iowa even in January. And so the only advantage to having a VIP at that show was you got in early. You got in an hour early, and we stayed right there at the Hard Rock Hotel, which meant you could go down anytime you wanted to and see everybody. But it was unique. You know, you just walked around, your eyes glazed over, and look at that, look at that, look at that. Then by day three, it's just like, oh, yeah, okay, I've seen that. Okay, I've seen that. I've seen that. So my wife had a picture taken with, I can't think of the guy's name. Anyway, some porn star guy. And be somewhere. Tip of my tongue. But anyway, so she had her picture taken with this porn star guy. I've got to look at my wife's porn collection to find out who it was. Anyway, in James Dean. Anyway, in the back of her head, there was a giant likeness of his penis right behind his, her head that he was for sale. It was a huge dick. And, you know, we took the picture, didn't even realize that was in it, put it on Facebook. Somebody says, you may want to check that picture. I mean, that's how, and you kind of get that. And I realize that with my friends, I'll show them a picture of somebody sent me a picture of something, or one of the stars sent me something, you know, it to me is no big deal, but, you know, to somebody who doesn't see it every day or is not used to the business or whatever, they're like, oh, my God. And so anyway, it's just this one is, you know, whatever you're acclimated to. And so that's kind of how that works.
How crazy do those Saturday Awards shows get? Is it like some of the rumors that we've heard, the rumors that the public have heard? Are those basically lies? It's bullshit.
There are women who dress more conservatively at adult entertainment stuff than they do for the Oscars or the red carpet, you know, like in Hollywood for the regular shows and movies. That's kind of the amazing thing. I've also seen people more dignity and treat people better in the adult world than I have seen on the red carpet and some of those places as well, too. I think you do have maybe a little jealousy now and then in the adult entertainment industry, but it's not as bad as what I think goes on in the real entertainment world. And you know, everybody's got their downside, but no, I think back in the 80s, it was more of a free-for-all. I think now that's pretty much contained, and here are the rules. And if you're serving alcohol, you can't have nudity, and they pretty much stick to that. And I don't think really anybody, you know, maybe they go offline a little bit and do something else, but really it's a lot more tame than it used to be. And I don't know, we're just all acclimated to it, and we're just used to it. But I think it's not as, you know, the after parties might be, and I've never been to one of those, but I know at Exotica now, you have a booth all day, and then you're expected, a lot of the stars are expected to go back and make content with other stars. And I know that a couple of gals, last year, one of the gals had a nine guys. She took on nine guys in her room after the being on her feet all day. You know, there'd be a little bit of chore to do that, making content for OnlyFans. And so, and then one other lady had 12 guys, you know. And so primarily being at the booth kind of promotes yourself, but then afterwards you go back to your room, and then you got to make a movie or make a scene for OnlyFans. And I guess that, you know, that can be quite grueling. I know that I had breakfast with Coral and Jewel, friend, at Exotica in Miami, Chicago. No, it was in Chicago. And she said that she had four scenes to do that morning before the 2 o'clock show in the ballroom or in the entertainment space. So it's like, man, you got to do four scenes, four different movies in four different rooms before you actually go on and display yourself to the public. So that's quite a lot of work. I don't think people realize that. And I know people don't realize how much hustling there is as far as constantly posting, put in wherever else that promotes your brand. Back in the day, it used to be just the movie studios that would do that. Now it's the actual girls themselves that have to do all that.
I'm a writer, right? And I can tell you now that if you're a writer in anything in entertainment, you're not promoting yourself, nobody else is going to do it for you, right? It's got to be consistent. Yeah. You know, it's got to be something, I shouldn't say different, but it's got to be something unique that fits what you're trying to say. Yeah, absolutely. And the thing that bothers me a lot that a lot of other writers don't get is your publishers don't care. They're not going to do it. You know, it's up to you.
Mm-hmm.
It's up to you, the creator, to do it because nobody else cares. And again,
for sure.
Most people don't. Most people think magically that somehow people are going to find out what you do. That maybe a little fairy will show up and tell them or something. Don't know. But it's you yourself, you know, and that's something that I know I need to work more on. Absolutely. for its worth, if any stars that you know need help with their promotions, please let me know. I'd be more than happy to do it. I even do it for free.
Great.
Yeah, because
I just hope, I just hope you get a retweet. I mean, that's just,
that's the thing.
I posted
people,
something about it.
People don't.
It doesn't,
How can I put this? I know I'm not as good as I should be, and I apologize. Bottom of my heart. When I see your stuff come through, when I see it come through, I'll try to do my best to retreat and start those conversations going. I apologize from the bottom of my heart that I've not done so before. I'm very, truly sorry. Because, we have to help each other out in this world.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So how much
and,
has it
gone? What I did today was I posted something about Sarah J. and a podcast we had, and I was really happy to see that she retweeted it. It didn't cost her anything. Just retweet it. I mean, she has a bigger audience than I do, and if I can pick up three or four new people on Twitter from a post, then that's cool. And I like to have, we have 1,300 or so in our little autograph group, and it always amazes me. We have 1,300 people in that autograph group, and only about 7 or 8 or 10 or 12 ever participate in our Sunday night videos that is unique. And someone says, well, you ought to offer a prize. Hell, the prize is the porn star talking about her career, and you can ask that porn star anything you want. That's the prize.
Absolutely.
You're one-on-one with her. Yeah.
Yeah.
If you want to buy a cameo from her, give her 45 or 50 bucks.
To me, having the ability to talk to someone who's been involved in the movie industry or whatever and getting the information, to me, is of great value. If you said, hey, okay, I'm going to do a Patreon, you're going to be part of this talk group, you have to pay me $5 a month, I'm signing the fuck up. Sorry, I mean, I swear.
Mm-hmm.
Even if I only want to ask one or two questions, I want the ability to ask it, obtain that information. To me, that's a value that I'm willing to pay for.
Right. Yeah. And little things. I've helped support a lot of Kickstarter projects. I got just a book I got the other day about Rudy Ray Moore. Dolomite is my name, that guy. And I helped with the, say what?
I agree with you. Yes, I'm familiar with it.
Yeah. And all the porn star that died here a while back, I gave money to help her movie get produced and several things. My name's on the credits for a lot of them. That I just gave you 25 or 30 bucks, and you can give what you can, and you could certainly give more, or you can certainly give less. But if all you do is sometimes just give 25 bucks, sometimes that makes a heck of a difference in somebody's world.
It does. I mean, little things like retweeting makes a big difference. The idea when somebody's, if you can't help them directly, what else can you do? Maybe because I can do, I've been in film forever, right? If somebody says, hey, Wayne, I need somebody to help me set up a stage, I can do that. If they want me to help him pick up after a shoot, I can do that. If they want me to run a camera, I can do a DP, right? I'm a piss poor editor, so don't ask me to edit because he won't like it, right? But I can do little things. Right. And even if it's only the number of films I've been on, the only thing I've done is sweep the floor at night when things were done or made coffee when I got there, it's huge. It's a big help. It's a big help.
Right.
It's about helping each other out. It's not necessarily, I'd be foolish if I said that if you everything away for free, the money's going to come because it won't. But if you do some things for free and you get known for being that guy or that girl that will show up and do stuff, opportunities will show up too.
Right.
They will.
Yeah.
And you have to be bold enough to sit there and be ready for them when they come. And don't be afraid to sit there and say, yeah, I can help you. If you know the guy's making a gazillion $14, then you get paid, right? If your friends and you are making a movie, nobody's going to get paid. Nobody's going to get paid shit. But the guy has a budget, he's getting paid. Yeah, you get paid too. That's the way it should work.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes getting those basic training is huge, absolutely huge. I can't emphasize that enough. So what do you think is going to go happening, say, in the next 5 years with the adult entertainment industry?
I think more people are going to get into it. I think it'll probably drive the price down. OnlyFans commissions will be less, and you'll just see the less and less and less. I don't know where the big dogs in the business are going to end up. I don't think there's going to be any, down the road, you're not going to have as many full-length porno features, you might say, like a pirates movie or anything like that. Because once it's released, then somebody's going to hijack it and put it on the internet for nothing, and there goes all the money. So even the exoticas, I don't know. It is cool to go out and be able to shake hands or put your arm around or something with a gal that's an exotica and take your picture with them. And it's always cool to, you know, say hi to Evan Stone every time you're there and things like that. But I don't know, you know, it costs so much money. I mean, you have to, let's say you're going to go to Chicago for exotica. You know, the booth, I think, for a star is $600 if they want a star booth of their own. Then you've got $800 in room bill for four nights. Then you've got a flight. There's a lot of moving parts in that. When Herschel Savage came to Exotica in Chicago, he said, I just can't afford, you know, the motel. I said, well, I'm splitting it with you, so that's $400 each. I said, what I'll do is I'll sell autographs for you, pre-sell them, and after I get $400, I said, you can get the rest of the money, but I said, I'll just keep your first $400 as payment for the room. Well, luckily, I got him about $500 of autograph sales, and I gave him $100, and so he had some spending money, and I had the room paid for, and that's kind of how it worked. But and he had a booth sponsor, so he didn't have to pay the booth, but some of these gals, you know, pay the booth themselves, pay to fly, pay for the hotel. You know, they got to make some money somehow. I mean, it's just each convention could be a $2,000 bill.
Easily, yeah, easily. I know, I've been to a couple of film festivals around run myself. I know how much they cost on both sides of that coin. It's not cheap, and most people don't realize how expensive it can be to put it on or to go. Yeah, absolutely. It's something that and what's nice about you, because I've seen you talk on the show about that, how you're working with some of these girls to make sure they have a good experience, make sure they have that ability to try to make that couple of bucks.
Right. And, you know, I'm not taking on the girls who don't need the help. So I'm not worried about Karma RX right now. I'm more worried about a Sharon Mitchell or, somebody else of that era that, you know, it's kind of been left behind. There's no, pension for that. And so I know some of the gals who could use it. And I know that, for example, Karen Summer had breast cancer last year, the year before. And when I was down at Florida, I did get to go over to her house. And several of the guys from the group said, hey, Pat, here's some money to kick in. So I gave her a nice little pile of cash when I got there and also had her sign some things. And she was really, really appreciative of it. So, and it wasn't, she was somewhat, I can't say embarrassed, but she was self-conscious of me being there. But I think after the first, after 10 minutes, that kind of eased that. And I took Sue Nero with me, and that was kind of cool too. And they hadn't seen each other for a number of years, and they kind of reconnected. And so anyway, it was a nice trip. And a friend of mine from here in town gave her $1,000 in her GoFundMe, and so we made a little video for him, and he was like, oh, wow, I didn't know she'd do that for me, and that was so cool, and I think you'd probably line up and give her another $1,000. So it's just it's a cool family. It's a cool, you know, some people I know, probably some people in my own family or my wife's family probably wouldn't approve, but I'm not looking for their approval anyway, so I guess it's between me and whoever, and I guess we're going to be square on that deal.
Yeah, to me, again, it's real well, everybody's over 18. We're able to make our own decisions. Yeah, personal belief is that if I can help somebody out that needs the help, and if I can do so safely, I'm going to. Because I don't want to go to the next life and get the question, this guy came to you, and you could have helped him, and you didn't. What was that?
Yeah,
you know?
I would say, unless you're feeding me, funding me, or effing me, don't bother talking to me about it. Then, you know, when you're doing those three things, then we can worry about it. But until you do, then we're not going to worry about it. Somebody the other day says, somebody was quite critical of me, I guess, about my website and stuff. And I said, you know, it's that good old freedom of speech. You know, I said, it's there. I said, you think you're a patriot or you're this or you're that? Well, you know, it's you know, the First Amendment came before the Second Amendment, so they're all important amendments, but you know, you got to be able to speak too, and it's not hurting you, and it's not hurting anybody else. And if you don't like the TV show, you don't like the porno movie, turn the channel. Don't want one, you know?
Actually, oh, guys, sing to the choir. Sing it, brother. I'm so tired of people telling me I can't do this, I can't watch this, I can't say whatever, right?
Yeah.
Come on. I mean, me, Wayne Klingman, the old-time guy in Milwaukee, is going to offend you so badly you can't live.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
You know, that I'm going to say something that you need a safe space? Come on. Christ,
yeah.
I grew up in the 60s and the 70s. You know, come on.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's
insane. As you know, my family or father-in-law, you know, doesn't like gay marriage. Well, I said, then don't marry anybody that's gay.
That's right. Absolutely. Don't marry anybody that's gay. Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's enough done. If you don't like guns, don't buy one, right? If you don't like drinking,
don't buy
beer. So it's really easy.
Yeah.
It's easy.
Simple,
it's easy.
Simple.
Yeah. If you see somebody, help them. You know, you don't have to wait for the government to help them. Help your neighbor. Help the old lady across the street. Help the older guy who can't do as much as he could around the house. Does it hurt you to do that? No, it doesn't. You know, be an American. Do the right thing. It's easy to do. So where do we find you online sir?
It's at www.jizztalking.com. And you can also follow me on Twitter, @jizztalking. Every once in a while, I'll post the link to the autograph Facebook page, adult. Let me just pull the page up so I know what the hell I'm talking about here. It's Facebook / groups, or if you just search adult entertainment autographs, you'll find us. There's also a backup account in case Facebook gets really tired of us on the main account, and we know we switch to the backup account. But adult entertainment autographs is where we're found, and we every Sunday night, except this week because it's going to be a Super Bowl on. So we're going to do it on Saturday. We're going to talk to a gal. This gal is Lacey Starr, and she is from London, England, or she's from England anyway. And so we're going to talk to her on Saturday at 7 o'clock Central. That's when the shows are. Usually on Sunday at 7 o'clock Central, but this time it's Saturday at 7 o'clock Central. It's 1 o'clock her time, so she's going to stay up a little later. But she's got looks like to me she's wearing a T-shirt with. Two leopards in the T-shirt because they're looking to get out.
let me ask this question. Who would you have come on your show in the next couple of weeks, sir? Sir, if you could give that information out.
Sure. You bet. We've got Siren Demir is going to be out with us. Gina Carrero, she was a star back in the 80s. She's going to be on. Alex Cole, of course, everybody knows Alex. She's a real sweetheart at Exotica. Coming up the week before Exotica, we're going to have a preview show. So we invite as many people who can make it that are going to be actually at the show, stars and fans alike, that will talk about what's going to be at the show. And then on May 1st, then at the show, I take the computer into the bar and we fire it up and we do a wrap-up show. And sometimes we have the stars stop by there as well, too, and we shoot the bull. And I got a couple of surprise guests I'm going to be hitting up to come on in between now and then, and hopefully they'll say yes, and we'll just do that.
And tell me, how much does it cost for the member of the public to go in?
For Exotica?
Yes, sir.
Oh, I think day passes, I think, may start at $50 or $35, something like that. I couldn't even tell you. Something like that. On Friday night, women get in free, so you can take your lady friend and get in free on Friday nights for her. Let's see.
We can get the prices online, too. I'm sure their website, right?
At exoticaexpo.com, and they're supposed to have a new website coming out soon. If you want the one-day VIP ticket, that's about $80. You know, VIP is overrated sometimes, especially if you're on a budget. The general admission tickets are $39.99. They're $40. And you get the entertainment stage, you get the show floor, and you get some seminars.
Yeah. Well, Mr. Big would need to be the VIP, but of course, if Mr. Big shows up, they should let me in for free, because after all, I am Mr. Big.
What Mr. Big needs to do is get yourself a media pass, and those are free.
Okay.
Yeah, I can do that. When they announce the new site, I'll get you a link to that, and then just write what you do and how you're going to cover it and your Twitter handle, and you're pretty much in. So that's a 3-day all-in VIP. That's like a $240 value for free.
That's not bad. I mean, I don't want to drive back and forth every day. I mean, from here to – it's in free.
Right.
It's in Rosemont, right?
Is it what?
It's in the event is at the Rosemont, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm, yeah.
Yeah, so it's about an hour and a half for me, but I'd rather drive through Chicago traffic, you know, back and forth for 2 days.
Yeah.
And I don't pay for a hotel room. But you never know what might happen. You never know.
Well, I've not caught that yet. Yeah.
But anyway, sir, I want to thank you very much for coming on the show.
What we're going to do is I've got a roommate for my room, and the first two nights I've got Thursday night and Friday night, I've got somebody staying in that fold-out bed for $50 a night, a buddy of mine. But I'll have the sheets changed and the bedding all made up. If you want to come in, you can stay for Saturday night and Sunday night, same rate, $50 a night, and you don't have to worry about driving back and forth.
That's true. We'll discount. I talked to the gunmother to make sure she wants to take care of the dogs. It sounds like a good idea. Now, let me ask you this question. I write erotica, right? Obviously, I put it on Kindle. I'm not going to run the cost for a paperback. Would it be worthwhile for an erotica writer? Because I know a couple of them that show up and walk the booth areas that try to develop more of our books and the like, or not so much?
They do what again? They walk around the what?
They know it would be worth our while as writers to show up and try to promote what we write, or not so much.
I try and promote my web show to those gals, and they take my card and they say, "Hey, that's a cute name." And then two days later, 2 minutes later, they don't know who I am again, and what show I've got. So, some of the people, you could, but majority of them, nah. I told somebody, I said, one guy says, I've got four things for Stormy Daniels to sign, and I'm going to just see what kind of a deal she'll cut me. I said, what? Yeah, I'm going to see if I can't cut a deal with Stormy. She's $20 an autograph, but I got four things I'm going to put down and see what she'll do. I said, no. I said, a year ago, I had 10 pictures and a selfie to give to deal with. I gave her $220 for all that. $20 a photo, then a selfie. I said, she looked at me like I farted. And I said, she's not making deals with anybody. It's $20 a pop. If you don't like it, walk away. And so anyway, that's kind of her deal.
Okay. No, I understand. 100%. I mean, Soren Daniels got fucked by her attorney lately. I don't think she's looking to give everybody any deals. But I want to thank you again before we get kicked off the air. For coming in. I really appreciate it, and I'll see you Saturday night then, I'm thinking.
You bet. Take care, my friend.
Thank you, sir. Thanks again. Bye-bye. A great show with a great guest. We will have him on again. We'll see about going to Radica. It'll be a lot of fun. I know Christian will be there, I'm thinking. Anyway, again, thank you. And please check out my book so you can find all at themilwaukeemob.com. Again, milwaukeemob.com. You have all my books. Please buy them all. Thank you very much for listening. Talk to you all soon. Bye.